Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are currently in a series looking at one of the greatest examples of a man of God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus as we study with Pastor Nate through the life of Joseph.
We're going to be picking up in verse 1 of chapter 39, and I've called this message, Where You Are. Where You Are, and we're going to sort of talk about that idea. Genesis 39, beginning in verse 1, it said, Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his house, or in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then Potiphar made Joseph overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Pause right there. We're told that Joseph was sold into slavery, and God begins to bless his life. Now, this doesn't seem like a scene that was from a character that was just sold into slavery. Imagine you're watching Joseph's movie, you're watching his life, and all of a sudden he's thrown into a pit by his brothers. They're going to kill him, and then they decide, you know what, we're going to sell him into slavery. So they sell him into slavery. I imagine him, the shackles going on him. He's probably walking behind a caravan, perhaps with other slaves tied next to him, and then the scene ends. And imagine the next scene, right? I mean, we could kind of imagine. You picture him sort of, you know, in a field working or being whipped or maybe in prison somewhere doing all this hard work. And the next scene opens up, and there he is in this really successful man's house, and God's blessing him. And at first, you know, maybe he's cleaning the toilets. And he does a really good job at that. And then the guy changes his position. He's like, actually, do you know what? You're going to go to the kitchen. Why don't you make the food? And he's making the food, and the food's amazing. So do you know what? Actually, I want you to take inventory of the food that I have. And so Joseph does that, and God blesses that. And do you know what? I want you to actually take inventory of everything I have in my house. And God begins to bless that. And everything he does, God's just making Joseph prosper. He's sort of climbing the ladder, the corporate ladder, if you will. Everything Joseph's doing, God is blessing. And you can see God's hand in it, even when it seems like he isn't there. I imagine as that first scene comes to a close and Joseph's being sold into slavery, he's probably asking the question like, really, God? This is your plan for my life? Like, I had this amazing dream. Like, it seemed like you were doing something. It seemed like you had a bright future for me. And now I'm being sold into slavery. And where are you now, God? And then God begins to show up and bless Joseph. And God had a purpose for Joseph. And he needed to get him to the Egyptian. God needed to get Joseph to Egypt because ultimately God has a plan for Joseph in Egypt, and he needed to get him there. My first thought this morning, you could jot this down, is Joseph was used where he was. Joseph was used where he was. Joseph didn't need a better environment in order to be used by God. I'm going to say that again. Joseph didn't need a better environment in order to be used by God. God could use him right where he was. I think a lot of people want better situations to be used by God in. It's hard to be used by God at my work because of the people that are there. Like, I wish God would use me, but you don't understand the people I have to work with. And I think a lot of people assume that if only situations were better, then God could use them more. Rather than looking at the situation they're in as an opportunity for God to use them. And God was using Joseph where he was. When he was being sold into slavery and everything was like, this is my life. My life's over. Everything that I had planned, I'm sure Joseph thought, okay, I want to get married one day. God had a promise to my great-granddad that we're going to have as many kids as we're going to be a nation. He's like, I got to get married in order for that to happen. He's sold into slavery. All the plans that he had changed. And here he is now a slave to this guy in Egypt, but God begins to use him where he was. I think a lot of times we think that one day God will use me. And sometimes we got to say, okay, I don't need to say one day. I don't need to say over there. God, I want you to use me right here, right now. And for Joseph, he said, okay, I'm in jail. That's the situation. I'm a slave. I'm a slave to this guy. That's my situation. Nothing's going to change that. So God, how do you want to use me right here? And the key for him was that he made his relationship with God public. If we want to be used right where we are, we have to go public with our faith. We're told that his master saw that the Lord was with him. Look again in verse 3. It said, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. And it says it a few times that so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. There's this idea that the master was looking at Joseph, and there was something about Joseph's relationship with God that the master could physically see. He saw that the Lord was with him. I don't know what that looks like. It wasn't like God was standing next to Joseph. Oh, God's with Joseph. There he is. I was wondering where God was. No. There was something about the way Joseph was living his life that the master could look at him and say, there's something different about this guy. And so I'm going to invest in this guy. And God began to use him where he was. The master saw him. How? I think there was three ways the master saw that God was with him. One was by his work ethic. There was probably something different about the way Joseph worked than the way everybody else worked. Maybe he had a few slaves. Maybe he was a master of a bunch of slaves, and there was something different about Joseph. He was looking at this guy, and he's like, he works harder, he works better, he works faster. He all of these things, he does it better, and there's something different about this guy. You want to go public with your faith? How about you have a better work ethic than the people around you? I'm going to work hard in school. I don't like school, but I'm going to work hard in it. I'm going to work hard at work. I don't like my job. I don't like the people I work with, but I'm going to work hard. We're going to have a harder and better work ethic, and that's going to show people that God's with us. I think also by his attitude. It's one thing to work really hard. It's another thing to do it with a good attitude. It's one thing to get the job done. It's another thing to do it to the glory of God. It's a huge difference. There's one thing you finished your homework, but your attitude was terrible. Yeah, you did your job, but your attitude was terrible. There's a whole other thing when we do it with a good attitude. And I assume that what made him different, that he could see that the Lord was with him, was by his attitude as he did it. Remember Joseph, he's sold into slavery against his will. He didn't sign up for this job. He didn't apply and get it. Like if you have a job, you applied and you got it. You chose to be there. So you should work hard at it. Anyways, he didn't choose to be there, and yet there was something different about the way he did his job that caught the Lord's with this guy. And then also by his blessings. It says over and over that the Lord made him prosper in everything he did. This guy's looking at him, it's like, this guy can't do anything wrong. Everything he does is better. Listen, you are blessed by God. If you have placed faith in Jesus Christ, you are already blessed by God. Even if your situation is bad, even if you don't have physical blessings that we assume blessings are, you are already blessed by God. And so everything you do as a believer in Jesus Christ is blessed. You got to understand that. You are blessed by God. Even if it's like, no, I'm not blessed. No. You might not see blessings. You might not feel blessings, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in the state of blessed. And so everything that you do is blessed. And so when you work hard, when you have a good attitude and you realize God has already blessed me, and so I'm going to use my blessing to give back to people, people are going to look at your life and say, okay, I think God's with them. And Joseph went public with his faith. He was working hard and God was using him where he was. Listen, God wants to use you right here. Right where you are. You don't need a new situation. You don't need a new environment. You don't need a new scenario. You don't need a new school. You don't need a new job. God wants to use you right here, right now. Now, unfortunately for Joseph, the story doesn't end there. Unfortunately for him, there's the next sentence at the end of verse 6. Let's continue. This might not seem like a bad thing, but it was. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. I don't know. I guess that was a pickup line back then. It's kind of creepy. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master doesn't know what's with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in the house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. That's the original. I ain't grabbed no shoes, no nothing, Jesus. That's the OG right there. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them saying, see, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me and cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in a prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Basically, what happens is this elderly woman, I don't know how old she was hitting on Joseph, and Joseph said no over and over and over again. And finally, she sort of made a move at him. And he's like, no, like, get away from me. And his outer garment, his, like, he would have had underwear on or something, but his outer garment came off, and he's like, I'm not messing around with this lady, and he booked it. And so what she did is she sort of flipped the script. She had his garment, and she said that he came to her and was hitting on her, and then he took off his clothes trying to make a move, and she was like, I'm not going to do this, and she made this scene, and she flipped it and made Joseph the bad guy. That's basically the situation that happened. Now, the story changes a little bit, but Joseph faces a new difficulty, right? His story goes from he was favored by his dad. He was hated by his brothers. He was given a coat of many colors by his dad. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He's climbing the ladder. God's blessing him. Things are great. This older woman makes a pass at him and ultimately gets thrown into prison. And his life, it's just like this. And it's going to continue like this. It's like, hey, things are great. Things are miserable. Things are awesome. Things are terrible. That's literally his life. But the situation, we see that this woman, she hits on him. But Joseph, second point, resisted where he was. Joseph resisted where he was. Joseph had an easy opportunity to fall into sin here. Really easy. Partially because none of his friends or family are around. He's completely alone in a new area. And along with this new area comes new cultural ethics. And what I mean by that is things that were acceptable and not acceptable were different in this new environment. Egypt was very loose. Egypt was very different than where he came from. And so for him to be in this new environment, it would have been very easy for him to say, I'm not here. Where's God in all of this? I don't need to obey the God I used to follow. I'm in this new surrounding. Nobody knows my name. Nobody knows what's going on. And it would have been very easy for him to give in and fall into this temptation and sin. And so Joseph, even though he had reason to give in, he still refused to give in to the temptation. Listen, temptation for sin will come in to wreck your call and your purpose. God had a plan for Joseph's life. God was working in Joseph's life. He was preparing him, and he was using him for all that God wanted to do in his life and through his life. And these things are happening. And as soon as success starts to happen, as soon as breakthrough starts to happen, as soon as overcoming an opposition starts to happen, a new temptation shows up to wreck what Joseph was called to do. God was using him. God had big plans for him and was using him right here. And this new temptation comes in to wreck his call. And listen, temptation for sin will come into your life and it will try to get you to walk away from what God has for you. And we, like Joseph, need to resist it. Joseph didn't give in. But notice also that he didn't excuse it, he refused it. I think this is important. He didn't excuse it, he refused it. Look at verse 9, the second half of verse 9. He says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Who is he sinning against? He says God. He doesn't say he was sinning against his master, although that would have been for him to betray his master and sleep with his wife. That was not a good thing, not nice to his master. But Joseph called it as it was. He says, "How am I going to do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And the important thing is that he called it as it was. He said, "What you're asking me to do is sin. No gray area. This isn't one of those, I'm not really sure, is this sin, is it not? What you're asking me to do is sin. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" We live in a culture that changes phrasing to justify actions. This is all the time. Things that are sinful for the Bible, our culture just changes the terminology a little bit and it makes it less bad. "Oh, you're not committing adultery. You're just finding what makes you happy. Oh, that relationship wasn't working for you. Just find one that does. You're just following your heart." But we change the terminology and we lessen the seriousness of our action. It's just justifying sin. We're saying, "Oh, it's not sin. You're just doing what makes you. No. Joseph said, "What you're asking me to do is sin. And for me to give into that, I am sinning against God, and I'm not going to do that." And listen, as temptation comes, what the devil will try to make you use, or what he will use to get you to do it, is try to make you justify the action. It's not technically sleeping together. That's not that bad. It was only one time. It's not that big a deal. And what's going to happen is the devil will try to get you to justify something. And if you can justify it, then he can get you trapped in it. Because what will happen is, "Oh, it's just once and it turns to twice. It's not that big a deal. Everybody's doing it, blah, blah, blah." And pretty soon the devil will use it to trap you in something and wreck your call and your purpose. And from the get-go, he says, what you're asking me to do, it is sin and it's wickedness, and I'm not going to be a part of it. He doesn't excuse it. He refuses it. He says, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to mess with it." But also notice, it wasn't just once. Joseph didn't have to say no just one time. Look again at verse 10. "So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her." It wasn't just initially, but continually. Joseph didn't have to say no just once. It wasn't like, "No, I'm not going to do that," and his problem was over. Listen, the way temptation works is it's going to come in and it's going to try to wreck you every single day. And as soon as you think you've overcome one obstacle, something new will come in to try to wreck your call and your purpose. And Joseph, he looks at it and he's like, "Nope, I'm not going to do that today." Next day, he shows up for work, clocks in, like, "Hey, lie with me." "Nope, not going to do that today." Right? Every single day, he's having to deal with this situation. And every single day, he's refusing it. Every single day, he's saying, "That is sin. That is wrong. I'm not going to go down that road because I know this will wreck the call that God has on my life." He refused it. It's one thing to say no to temptation once. It's another thing to say no daily. And Joseph had enough faith in God and had enough strength through the Spirit of God and through his trust in God to say, "I'm not going to do that." And every single day, although it seemed easy, it seemed flattering, it seemed simple, it was excused, whatever, he said, "I'm not going to go down that road." Temptation will come, and we've got to learn to not excuse it. We've got to refuse it, and it has to be continually. He refused it, and then when he needed to, he ran. You know, the thing with Joseph is Joseph didn't put himself in a bad situation. Kind of, these were the cards that Joseph was dealt. A lot of us, we find ourselves saying no to temptation that we put ourselves into. Oh, I said no to drinking at this party. Well, you were at the party. Like, congratulations, you put yourself in a stupid situation. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's one thing. Joseph didn't sign up for this. Joseph didn't put himself in an environment where this lady could come on to him and he would every single day have to say no to it. This was the situation he was in, and he chose to rise above it. And then he had to go to work. He was a slave. He had to show up. He had to do what he needed to do. And every single day he had to say no. And then finally, when it came down to it, he's like, I can't be here anymore. And he ran. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says this. This is what we have to do. It says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He says, flee also youthful lust. That's what Joseph did, literally. He fled. He ran out. He said, the temptation, it's happening. Maybe in this time, maybe he was really tempted to give in. I don't know. This is just thoughts. Maybe this time when she came on to him and all of this happened, maybe he was tempted to give in. And him, out of a last chance, just ditch, like, I can't be in here. He literally just ran for the door. Like, literally. He's like, no! And just maybe he was screaming and like, I can't! And ran out. And she grabs onto his shirt. And he's like, I don't even care. I'm getting out of this situation. And he ran out. Listen, we've got to flee. We've got to run away. We need to run from temptation because it will ruin God's plan for your life. Listen, difficulty can't ruin God's plan. Opposition can't ruin God's plan. Enemies can't ruin God's plan. You giving into temptation can ruin God's plan. We see Joseph, he's already dealt with difficulty, opposition, frustration, all of it. None of that can ruin God's plan. Us giving into temptation. Giving into temptation can destroy God's plan. Joseph was pure. And what we see is purity is a great power in the kingdom of God. I was thinking about talking about this series, talking about the great equities of the kingdom of God. The things that give us power in God's kingdom. Purity is power in God's kingdom. Staying pure is power in God's kingdom. Another thing is suffering is power in God's kingdom. And then we're going to see as Joseph's life continue is that forgiveness is power in God's kingdom. Joseph had it all. Purity, suffering, and forgiveness, all three of which are power in God's kingdom. In the world, that's nothing. Purity, forget about it. Suffering, that's your own problem. Forgiveness, you should get yours. You should get even. Don't forgive. And yet Joseph had all these three. These are great powers in God's kingdom. All right, let's finish the story. Verse 21. But, everyone say but. You guys still with me? You got in it for, you're with me for one more point? You guys can handle it? Okay, cool. All right. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Where's Joseph? He's in prison, remember? He wrongly accused, wrongly convicted, wrongly thrown into prison. But God showed him mercy and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. In prison, it doesn't seem like he's there for very long. And all of a sudden the prisoners are like, hey, you mind locking the doors tonight? I'm going to go home early. I got this. Locks all the prison cells, locks himself inside. Like, what? What is happening? He's like, you make sure everything's going good. Make sure everything. Basically, the prison guard kind of got let off the job and just let Joseph take over while he was in prison. Because Joseph was so honorable and so trustworthy, and God was with him in such a clear, direct way that whatever he did, God prospered it. And the last thought this morning is that Joseph adjusted from where he was and kept going. He adjusted and kept going. Change, listen to this, is just a new opportunity to be used by God. We hate change. If you're anything like me, I hate change. I don't want a new school year. I don't want a new school. I don't want a new home. I don't want new friends. Like, I just like the same old consistency. Like, let's keep it real simple. I'll eat the same thing for dinner. I'll have coffee around the same time in the morning. Like, go to bed around the same. Like, let's just make it real simple and real consistent. Change, although it's like, it's exciting and it's romantic. Like, I'm good with consistency. We like consistent, and all of a sudden there's change. There's change from his home to slavery. And right when things seem to, all right, I'm getting used to this. God's using me. I like this season. It's all right. Change again. He's in prison. And what does Joseph do? He doesn't get mad at God. He doesn't blame God for the new environment. He doesn't get frustrated about what's not going his way. He adjusts from where he was and he kept going. All right, God, I'm in prison now. Let's do it. All right, God, this is the situation you have me in. Let's go. We don't have to be frustrated. Joseph, he was in a new setting with a new struggle, but he had faith in the same God. No matter what you're at, no matter what you're going through, trust in the same God, and he will give to you what you need where you're at.
And we sing glory, glory in the highest.
Thanks again for tuning in to Middle Ground Radio. We pray that this message has blessed you and your relationship with Christ. And if you'd like more information about all that's going on here, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow Pastor Nate on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week and join us next time here on Middle Ground Radio.